बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत अभयचरण अरविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation. Today we have text 38 and 39. 38 has a short purport. तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रियायानुरक्तो विद्याधरीभिर् उपचीर्ण वापुर्विमाने बबराज उत्कच उत्कच कुमुद गणवान अपि चयस् ताराभिरावृत इव दूपतिर् नाभस्ता। One moment, Maharaj. Okay. Tasmin alupta mahima priyayanurakto. Vidyadharibir upachirna vapurvimane. बबराज उत्कच कुमुद गणवान अपि चस् ताराभिरावृत इव दूपतिर्नाभस्थः। तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रियायानुरक्तो विद्याधरीभिर् उपचीर्ण वापुर्विमाने Babaraj Utkach Kumud Ganavan Apichas Tarabhiravrata Ivo Dupatirna Bhasta. Please chant. Tasmin lupta mahima priyaya anurakto. Vidya daribir upachirna vapur vimani. Babaraj utkach kumud ganavan apichas. Tarabhiravrita ivo dupatirna bhasta. Tasmin alupta mahima priyaya anurakto. Vidyadhari virupachirna vapur vimani. Babaraj utkach kumud ganavan apichas. Tarabhiravrita ivo dupatirna bhastaha. Tasmin alupta mahima priyaya anurakto. Vidyadhari virupachirna vapur vimani. Babaraj utkach kumud ganavan apichas. Tarabhiravrita ivo dupatirna bhastaha. Tasmin alupta mahima priyaya anurakto. Vidyadhari virupachirna vapur vimani. Babaraj utkach kumud ganavan apichas. Tarabhiravrita ivo dupatirna bhasta. Viravrata ivo dupatirna bhasta. Mataji's, please. Tarabhiravrita ivo dupatirna bhasta. Tasmin alupta mahima priyaya anurakto. Vidyadhari virupachirna vapur vimani. Babaraj utkach kumud ganavan apichas. word to word. Please repeat. Tasmin, in that. Alupta, not lost. Mahima, glory. Priyaya, with his beloved consort. Anurakta, attached. Vidyadhari bihi, by the Gandharva girls. Upachirna, waited upon. Vapu, his person. Vimane, on the airplane. Babraja, he shone. Utkacha, open. Kumut Ganavan, the moon which is followed by the rows of lilies. Apicha, very charming. Tarabhihi, by stars. Avrita, surrounded. Eva, as. Udupatihi, the moon, the chief of the stars. Nabhastaha, in the sky. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhayacharya Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Though seemingly attached to his beloved consort, while served by the Gandharva girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which was mastery over his self. In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni with his consort shone as charmingly as the moon in the midst of the stars in the sky, which causes rows of lilies to open in ponds at night. Purport. The mansion was in the sky, and therefore the comparison to the full moon and stars is very beautifully composed in this verse. Kardama Muni looked like the full moon, and the girls who surrounded his wife, Devahuti, seemed just like the stars. On a full moon night, the stars and the moon together form a beautiful constellation. Similarly, in that aerial mansion in the sky, Kardama Muni with his beautiful wife and the damsels surrounding them appeared like the moon and stars on a full moon night. We'll read the next one also, then we can discuss.
Tenastalokapa vihara kula chalendra droni shvang ananga sakam marutu subhagashu siddher nuto dhyoduni pat shivasvanasu reme chiram danadaval lalana varuti.
In that aerial mansion, he traveled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, gentle, fragrant breezes that stimulated passion. In these valleys, the treasurer of the gods, Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the Siddhas, generally enjoys pleasure. Kardama Muni, also surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. Purport to this verse. Kuvera is one of the eight demigods who are in charge of different directions of universe. It is said that Indra is in charge of the eastern side of the universe, where the heavenly planet or paradise is situated. Similarly, Agni is in charge of the southeastern portion of the universe. Yama, the demigod who punishes sinners, is in charge of the southern portion. Nirati is in charge of the southwestern part of the universe. Varuna, the demigod in charge of the waters, is in charge of the western portion. Vayu, who controls the air and who has wings to travel in the air, is in charge of the northwestern part of the universe. And Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, is in charge of the northern part of the universe. All these demigods take pleasure in the valleys of Mount Meru, which is situated somewhere between the sun and the earth. In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni traveled throughout the eight directions, controlled by the different demigods described above, and as demigods go to Mount Meru, he also went there to enjoy life. When one is surrounded by beautiful young girls, sex stimulation naturally becomes prominent. Kardama Muni was sexually stimulated, and he enjoyed his wife for many, many years in that part of Mount Meru. But his sex indulgence was praised by many, many siddhas, beings who have attained perfection, because it was intended to produce good progeny for the good of universal affairs. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. Thank you. And very happy to be back here in the Enlivening Association. So, it's a very powerful, amazing, interesting, and exciting pastime. And I'm sure, like any person, definitely in a materialistic consciousness, would desire to have facilities like this, to have opulence and power like this. But Kardama Muni is a very advanced personality, and we heard in the previous chapter actually, this happened in the Satya Yuga, the golden age, where people lived for 100,000 years. So Kardama Muni, when he was ordered by Lord Brahma to help him create progeny, then he went and meditated for 10,000 years before he even decided to think of marrying someone. So that was his brahmacharya life. A student in training to advance in self-realization. Of course, he's not an ordinary person, but he's showing by his example how to be an exemplary husband, exemplary disciple, very powerful disciple actually. We can see, we heard in previous verses, the what he manifested by his mystic power. And here it's a very beautiful analogy of the full moon and the stars. So Kardama Muni is surrounded by all these beautiful apsaras and of course his wife. So I was reading some of the previous chapters, parts, where Kardama Muni, he actually, when he was in his meditation, he got to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So there was a discussion about what kind of yogi Kardama Muni is. So in the previous chapter, it's explained Kardama Muni is not like a mystic yogi, he is a devotee. But because meditation is the process of Satya Yuga, so he was doing the process recommended in that age. And as he progressed in his meditation, he got to see the Supreme Lord face to face. And this meeting wasn't ordinary. Of course, seeing the Lord face to face is not an ordinary happening. But for Kardama Muni, it was more special because he was ordered, he was given a service to create progeny, and not like a like powerful progeny which would create a beneficial situation for all living entities in the universe. So he actually expressed his desire to the Supreme Lord in this meeting that he said many beautiful prayers. And then he said that, you know, I do desire to marry a suitable girl. And, you know, it's astonishing to see how the Lord himself told him that I already know your desire and whatever you desire, it's already arranged for you. And he actually told him that tomorrow you will meet that girl. And it wasn't any ordinary girl. It was a daughter of Svayambhuva Manu, who was the emperor of the whole earth at that time. I'm sure like many person out in the world would desire to marry a suitable girl like that, if they do want to marry. The Lord, at that point, he told him that you will produce like 9 daughters through your wife who will be married to different sages. And I personally, as my plenary portion, will appear through your wife. And we heard that will be the Kapila Muni, which is coming in next chapters. And Kapila Muni, he will be speaking the yoga science for that time, and he will be speaking it to Mother Devahuti. So the Vedic system is, when Svayambhuva Manu came to deliver his daughter to Kardama Muni, then Kardama Muni, he told him that I will not be staying with my wife forever. I will only stay as long as I give her the children, and then I will move on and I will travel like a mendicant. And he even prayed this to the Lord himself when he met him, that, you know, I don't want to be caught up with so many responsibilities of family, of, you know, raising children and all those things. I want to just devote my life to just meditating on you, thinking about you, serving you in all different ways, and travel freely, which we hear in these verses. He was already traveling freely I read in one of the purports, it says, even the demigods who are in charge of these different planetary systems, they can only travel freely within that planetary system. They cannot go to other planets. But we can see Kardama Muni already has more powers than these demigods. He could travel to all different planets, all different spaces. So Kardama Muni's, the actual point I wanted to mention is Kardama Muni's mystic power is not because of performing like some... he didn't perform meditation to develop mystic power. He is performing meditation out of devotion for the Lord, and as a result, he is being awarded with these opulences, with these mystic powers. Krishna, it's said in Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Tatra Partho Dhanurdharya, Tatra Shreya Nitir Matir Mama. I'm missing one word. Anyways, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Thank you. So, wherever there is Krishna, there is opulence, victory, and morality. So, someone may be thinking, oh, Kardama Muni, he has material desire. He is enjoying with his wife. But his consciousness is not of a conditioned soul. He's already a liberated soul. He already performed thousands of years of meditation. And his perfection was he got to see the Lord face to face, which is not experienced by an ordinary living being in material consciousness. Because his consciousness was already advanced, so he could see the Lord. And he was awarded these benedictions, these opulences by the Lord himself. He didn't even like have to go to work or have a business to, you know, generate these opulences. It was just a reward for him, for his devotional service. And in the speaking to Mother Devahuti in chapter 25, Lord Kapila tells her that these opulences that are bestowed on my devotees, they can never be taken away. Because they are bestowed on them, because they are relating to me in a certain relationship, like a friend or a parent or in a conjugal relationship. So those opulences, those mystic powers, they are like offered by the Lord himself, and they cannot be taken away from them. And that's what we are seeing here. But if we consider, like, you see, Kardama Muni is very advanced conscious person. He's a liberated person. But if such opulences are bestowed on an ordinary person, what would be the result? The result would be that those opulences will become a burden for such a person. How do we know this? There are like plenty of examples even in Srimad Bhagavatam. And one example that comes to my mind is Hiranyakashipu. He performed austerities for like thousands of years. And then Brahma gave him certain benedictions. He developed certain powers, but he misused them. Can anyone think of any other example like that? Someone was given benedictions and they become burdensome for them. From Bhagavatam or anywhere. Yes, Prabhu. One by one. So what was the benediction that became burdensome for him? Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, that's a very good example. Thank you, Devavrata Prabhu. So, Chitraketu, I'm sure many of us know the pastime already. But he had this son, because he was desiring, I want to have a son. Okay? And to have one child, because he wanted some heir to his kingdom, he was a king. So he tried to have a child, but every time he was having a daughter, and he was like in great distress. So who was the sage who gave him benediction? Was it Narada or Angira? So he was given this benediction, but when he was given this benediction, he was already informed that you will think this child will be a cause for your happiness, but actually this child will also be a cause for great distress for you, because the child, as soon as he took birth, after in a short time he died. So he was very happy, delighted for a moment, and then he was in great distress again. So yes, that's one example. Can anyone think of any other example? Who? Vritrasura. How was that? That's not Vritrasura. That's someone else. That's not Vritrasura. Vrikasura, yes. That's the one. So Vrikasura, yeah. He asked for a benediction, like whoever head he touched, that person would burn, like die. And he asked this benediction of Lord Shiva, actually, right? And then he tried to test it on Lord Shiva himself. So that's another interesting pastime. You were saying something? Uh-huh. And what was the benediction he got that became burdensome for him? Yeah, Ravana, he was worshipping Lord Shiva, actually. So he already had a lot of power and opulence, but again, that became a cause for his decline. So there is another example that comes to my mind is, I think it's, who's the person who got like 1,000 arms? Bhomasura. So he also got this benediction that he has 1,000 arms. That was also given by Lord Shiva. And then there is another beautiful pastime where Lord Shiva and Krishna is fighting. Lord Shiva is on the side of Bhomasura. And there's a whole pastime because one of Krishna's son was going to marry the daughter of Bhomasura. So it's a beautiful pastime. But we can see there are many examples like that. But Kardama Muni, he wasn't burdened by the opulences and mystic powers he developed. Rather, they were for the benefit of the whole universe, because from the 9 daughters, there were more great personalities that took birth and created progeny like that. So we can understand from this that Kardama Muni was practicing this meditation. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada is saying he was desiring a sun like a ray of Vishnu. So actually Lord himself took birth as his son. And I was thinking of, in recent history, we can remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also a very advanced devotee, and he desired a son who could do the work for propagating Krishna consciousness. He had, I think, 10 children, and one of them was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada. And there is a biography written about him, actually, Ray of Vishnu. So I think it's given there. There is one part where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was out at night, and his disciples, they were like wondering, why is our guru outside at night so late? And so some of them, they came and asked him that, Guruji, is, you are out so late, is everything okay? Can we do something? They approached him in a proper Vaishnava way and asked him. And then he told his disciples, "Oh, you didn't see there was like the Sankirtan party from the moon here. I was talking to them." And so, you know, he also showed great powers. And of course, we all know how he was known. The impersonalists, all other spiritual leaders, they kind of feared him for his great knowledge and purity and strength. And then I was remembering this thing that took place in London at the temple in London when Srila Prabhupada was speaking there. And I think this is given in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. So he asked the disciples later that, "Did you see Narada Muni was there?" And the disciples were like, "What? Narada Muni was here?" And so Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, you didn't see him? He was sitting there." And then he told the disciples that we should have a Vyasasan for a Narada Muni. So when he comes, he can sit there. So even now in ISKCON, London, Ishwar, there is a Vyasasan for Narada Muni. So I was traveling in India and I had a good opportunity to go to Ujjain, the place where Lord Krishna went to Gurukul. He was a student there in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And there is a beautiful ISKCON temple built by, I think, Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. So it was a very wonderful experience. This one devotee arranged for us to go visit the place where the actual Gurukul was. And I was so amazed how there are like all kinds of different arts Krishna and Balaram learnt there. Even how to make garlands, like we see here, devotees making garlands. All kinds of arts they learnt, even to make jewelry. So just within 64 days, Krishna learned all these things. We can see these days how much time it takes us to learn, even to make a garland or whatever service we have to do, it takes so long. But within 64 days, Krishna learned all the 64 arts. So talking about mystic powers and birth, I was just thinking about this part, how in this part, Lord appears by seminal injection. Kardama Muni, he actually had to have like a physical intimacy with Mother Devahuti to bring Kardama Muni. But if we remember birth of Krishna, then it didn't happen like that. There was no need of physical intimacy, because we can read this in Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully. Krishna first appeared in the mind of Vasudev, and then he transferred to the heart of Mother Devaki, and that's how Krishna appeared. And when he appeared like a beautiful child, decorated four arms, and Mother Devaki was like, you know, she was delighted, but at the same time she was very afraid, because she has so much affection. She's thinking Kamsa is going to kill this beautiful child. So she was in like a, it's like a contradictory emotions there. There is loving emotion, she is delighted, I have such a beautiful child, Supreme Lord is my son. And but at the same time, she's also afraid. So Krishna tells them that since you are so afraid of Kamsa, what you do is you take me to Vrindavan and take me to Nanda Maharaj and everything will be fine. You don't have to worry about Kamsa killing me. So I was thinking of the mood of Kardama Muni, because when Kapila Dev appeared, he was offering a lot of prayers, you know. So the mood is very like a awe and reverence mood. God is great and I am a servant, small. So that's the kind of mood I see that was there between Kapila Muni and Kardama Muni, Lord Kapila, sorry. But when we see Krishna and Vasudev, even there is this awareness that Krishna is God. But when we go to Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they don't have any awareness of Krishna's opulences. They just treat Krishna as like their baby, their child. And even when Krishna shows his opulences, you know, Mother Yashoda, she is like, oh, this is just like some powers bestowed by Lord Narayan on him. My child is a special child. Garga Muni, he predicted all these things when he, you know, did the ceremony for Krishna at his birth. So she never acknowledged opulences of Krishna. So we can see there are different moods. Although Kardama Muni is very, very advanced, but still within pure devotees there are different degrees. Even within Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they have the most love for Krishna. And then when we, you know, there are other cowherd people, they also see Krishna as their child. But the point is, like, there was no need of physical intimacy there. So first time when I read this, first time, I was like thinking, how is this? Like, you know, like, with no spiritual awareness, I was thinking, that's not possible. It cannot happen. How can you transfer the baby to someone else's womb? That's not possible. And even same, when I read this pastime of Kardama Muni years ago, then I remember I was speaking with one devotee and I was saying to him, I mean, I was politely asking him, isn't it a material desire, like, to even have God as your child? And he was saying, no, that's not a material desire. If God wants to be your child, how can it be a material desire? That's a good desire because the Lord needs some parents when he comes to this world. So of course he can come as Narsingadev. He can just appear out of a pillar and he don't need any parents. But when he wants to show the sweetness of his relationships, then he needs some parents. And those parents will be his pure devotees, his dear devotees. And that's how we see here. Although it may seem like, to an external perception, it may seem like Kardama Muni is, you know, sexually stimulated and he's just having fun with his wife. He's traveling to all these beautiful places, surrounded by these beautiful apsaras. But his consciousness is different. His consciousness is not like of a conditioned soul being bewildered. There's this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogeshwarya Prashakta Nam Tyapaharta Chetasam. So a conditioned soul, they get bewildered by Bhoga and Aishwarya when they have opportunities for enjoyment, and when they get some power, some influence, then they are bewildered. We can see the leaders these days. I don't know much about political scene here, but I can say about India. I was born in India. So there I can see, like, the people invest so much to become a political leader. And they like pretty much risk their lives to become a political leader, because they know once they become a leader, they can amass so much wealth for themselves. It's not to serve others. In Vedic culture, Lord Ramachandra, we are going to have some devotees bring Lord Ramachandra here. They are traveling from the new temple in India. And they will be here any moment. So we were asked to stay here to receive Lord Ram and maybe do a kirtan. But I will just finish with this last point. I lost the track. So the political leaders, they want to amass so much wealth for themselves. Yeah, so this is what I was going to say. Lord Ramachandra, he was being given the whole kingdom by Bharat, that you become the emperor. And it's mentioned in Ramayana that he didn't want to accept it. He was like, no. He didn't want to accept the kingdom. But here we can see there are people, they're risking their lives to get some position in society so they can have some power and influence. But Kardama Muni is not attracted by these opulences. He even told right at start when he met the Lord and when he met Swayambhuva Manu, he actually told him that I will accept your daughter only on the condition that once she has babies, I will leave home. And of course, it's not like someone may think, oh, he's very irresponsible husband, he just left. You don't do like that. But he's following the Vedic culture. He made sure that she has a son who can take care of her. So the culture is when the husband wants to, after 50 years, I think, the person leaves for the forest to completely absorb in their spiritual practice and advance in self-realization. And so Mother Devahuti, she actually asked him, hey, you are getting ready to leave, but I don't even have a son yet, so I need a son. And that's how Lord Kapila came. So when Kardama Muni was leaving, he said he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, so he's gonna, you know, protect you while I'm gone. So this is the scene. But these days, you know, like in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, the relationship, if there is some decrease in sensual pleasure, there is high chances of like people getting into a divorce, divorcing each other. So, but that's not how things are in Vedic culture. Mother Devahuti, she herself was pretty advanced in her practice, and that's why she was able to accept this condition. And she served him. She's a princess, but she agreed to stay in very like a simple way, and you know, just assist her husband. These days, these kind of things, they like, you know, like husband and wife probably, you know, get into a fight very easily. I went to visit my uncle, and they both follow different gurus, so they are always fighting with each other. So I was joking with them, oh, I forgot to get you a present. I should have got you guys some boxing gloves so you can have fun together fighting with each other. But Vedic culture is different. We can see, we can learn so much about the culture from these personalities. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching, the highest standards for human beings. But of course, these days, people have no idea of these standards. But by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this Srimad Bhagavatam. We can learn these things, especially by hearing about these pastimes. We ourselves can become very advanced. What's this verse? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Adokshaje Janyati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahetukam. So by engaging in devotional service to Vasudev, one can develop knowledge and detachment, just like Kardama Muni is showing by his example. Of course, we don't have to try to imitate Kardama Muni going to Mount Meru and all the pleasure gardens he went to. But we can, you know, follow him in his devotional mood, and we can try develop some devotional qualities and progress in our practice. So,
Hare Krishna. There's a very important correction that needs to be made. We mix up some of these names, like Britrasura and Brikasura. Britrasura was the appearance of Chitraketu after he was cursed by Parvati. Brikasura is the one who tried to kill Lord Shiva when he got that benediction. But same way, we messed up two other names, Bhaumasura and Banasura. Bhaumasura is the one who kidnapped 16,000 princesses and Krishna killed him, and then he married those princesses. Banasura is the one with 1,000 arms. So we should really try to keep these names straight. I know it's not easy, but Bhaumasura and Banasura are two different personalities. They're not the same. Banasura is the one who got the benediction. And there's even a verse where he prays the Lord Shiva that these arms have become a burden. Because So your point was well taken, but it's the wrong personality. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Maharaj. What time we want to have Kirtan, Prabhu?
Okay. So I'll keep it short. I just wanted to make one little point, which you made, but I wanted to add on to that point.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was these men who were being aroused by these beautiful women who were all over the place, including Devahuti. They were unaffected by this, that what happened. They, in other words, their passion had not been sufficiently or truly aroused. Their desire to engage in sexual activity was not there. Why was it not there? Because they have been given an order. And the order was that they should produce progeny, produce children. So if they were to have sexuality, the main point should not be their personal pleasure. The main point should be the debt to humanity, so to speak, to produce children in the world, children who would be spiritual and therefore be able to propagate spirituality throughout. That was more important than their personal pleasure. And that's why they were able to do this. An ordinary person could not do this. But because they were all filled with austerity, they had performed it for many, many years, as we hear. Therefore, their senses were under control. And because their senses were under control, they could ignore whatever stimulation was coming from within, because he had a higher duty, and that was to produce children, not merely to have personal sense pleasure.
Thank you, Maharaj. Anyone else?
So everybody should just go take this out.
Okay. Mahaprasad Govinde. Okay. There's some people traveling with Lord Ram from India, going different temples.